Good morning, West Franklin. Please open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 15. For those of you at home, please stand in honor of God's word. Be on your guard against false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravaging wolves. You'll recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, neither can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire, so you'll recognize them by their fruit. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name? Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house. Yet it didn't collapse because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed. It collapsed with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, because he was teaching them like one who had authority and not like their scribes. Lord, thank you so much for this time, this morning together, to dig into your word. I pray for Matt as he leads us through these verses. And I just pray that you open our hearts and prepare them to receive the message you have for us today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Well, good morning, church family. Whether you're here in the room or whether you're watching online, I'm glad that you're here. Wrapping up greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher who's ever lived. I grew up in an address, and the address where I grew up was called 43 Cherrywood Road in Hartselle, Alabama. And that's a picture of my house. And if you're judging me right now because I'm a spoiled rich white kid, go back and read Matthew 7 verse 1 where Jesus says, don't do that. I found out this week that the house where I had my most formative years growing up was on the market. And so I went through walking down memory lane just looking at pictures outside and in. As you see, there's a pond in the front and a pool in the back. My parents didn't put the pool in until after we graduated high school. Still angry with them about that. But a lot of memories, a lot of emotions. There's my bedroom. Turned into a man cave or something. It's where I spent a lot of my time growing up. And as you can see, whoever bought the house and is putting it up for sale obviously has a dartboard in my room, because there's a picture of a former Alabama player, coach Gene Stallings, is on the wall. And Lord knows that should not be in my bedroom. And so obviously they intend it to be a dartboard of some kind. And I walked through, just walking through the pictures of the home where really I was, formative years were, and just tons of memories, tons of emotions came. It's where I began to form my identity, who I am. It's where I began to find what my purpose is in life. It's where I went for a safe place, right? I know I could go there and be loved unconditionally by mom and dad, and sometimes my sisters. It's where I found my identity, or began to, my security, my purpose in life. And just all those things just kept flooding to my mind this week as I kind of flipped through those pictures online. I don't know if you caught it or not, but Jesus closes his sermon talking about a house. It's interesting. He lands the plane of this sermon he's been preaching for three chapters now And he does so by talking about a house. And I don't think it's just a random coincidence. They say home is where the heart is. Jesus didn't say that, but I've heard it say that. And I just wonder if Jesus is not saying, you need to pay attention where you put your heart. I believe he closes the sermon with three promises. This is where this whole sermon's been going, with these three promises. Promise number one, you saw it a second ago when Kirsten was reading the text. He says everyone is going to build is building a home on something. Everyone is building a house on something. Now, if I understand Jesus correctly, everyone is building their heart on something, their life on something. Every one of us is doing that. As I went through these pictures online, went down memory lane, my mind went to my identity, security, and purpose. And if you think about it, every one of our hearts screams for that. Every one of our hearts longs to know who we really are, know our identity. So your heart's going somewhere. I believe as Jesus lands the plane here in the sermon, he's saying your heart is going somewhere to find your identity. All of us have that. We all long for security. We want a safe place. We want to go somewhere where we know that we can be loved unconditionally and not be judged, if you will. We want to know where we can go and just be ourselves. Your heart is going somewhere for that. My heart is going somewhere for that. We're building our house on something. Our hearts are going somewhere for these things. And I believe your heart is longing to know its purpose. And you're reaching for somewhere for that. There's somewhere you're building your home, your heart, your house. And that's a promise. Jesus says, all of us are building it. Your heart is attaching itself to something. Second promise, everyone goes through storms. Welcome to life. Everyone builds a house on something and everyone goes through storms. And the storms will beat you up. I don't believe it's just a storm. I believe there's many. It's Jesus' way of saying we live in a Genesis 3 world. If you want to know God's original purpose for mankind, read Genesis 1 and 2. Sin messed that up. If you want to know where it's going, read the end of the Bible in the book of Revelation. That's where it's headed. In between, there's going to be mess. And it's going to come at you and it's going to shock you. It's going to try to destroy you. It's going to cause a crisis of faith, or many seasons will cause a crisis of faith in your life. They will come. It will probably be something that you never would have imagined happening to you. It may happen, the same thing may happen to somebody else and it may not bother them the same way that it happens to you. Or something may happen to someone else and they are coming apart, but you wouldn't handle it the same way. Jesus is telling us, everyone's building their house on something, your heart's going somewhere, and there's a storm that everyone, or storms that everyone's going to go through. You've heard the phrase before, you're either going into a storm, coming out of a storm, or in the midst of a storm. Life happens. Welcome to it. Jesus is saying, this is just reality. Promise number one, everyone's building their home on something. Promise number two, everyone's going to go through a storm. Promise number three, there's only one way to endure. That's where the sermon's going. There's only one way to endure. There's not two or three ways to endure. There's not a dozen ways to endure. There's only one way to endure. There's only one way to survive the storms of life and thrive. And you saw it in the text. Where are you building your house? Jesus says, if you attach yourself to me, storms are going to come, and they're going to hit you, they're going to hurt you, they're going to cause you to be in doubt and shock, but you will endure, you will survive, you will thrive, if you attach yourself to me. If you don't, you'll crash and burn. And I don't think it's by accident that Jesus says you'll crash with a great crash. Anything other than putting your life into Jesus is like sand. It will not last. Storm comes. That's what Jesus says. So I believe this whole sermon has been moving to this point. Jesus doesn't just talk just to hear himself talk. He's been moving for a decision. He doesn't give an altar call. He basically says it like it is, drops the mic, if you will, and he goes on with his disciples. Your heart's going somewhere. You're going to have some rough seasons, and there's only one way to endure. And Jesus says, attach yourself to me, you'll endure. Now, if you're like me, I'm thinking, how do I know? How can I know? I want to know that I'm real. I want to know that I'm going to endure. I want to know that I'm truly a Christ follower, as we use in Southern Baptist language. I want to know that I'm saved. We use the doctrine all the time, which is a beautiful, wonderful doctrine. Once saved, always saved. But I have people come to my office often and say, how can I know that I really am? What if I've lost it? What if I never was it? I've struggled with it. I mean, let me just be honest. I've wrestled with my own salvation, had doubts and seasons of struggling, and I probably will again. Hope not, but can't honestly say I won't. How do you know? How do you know if you're real? How do you know if you are going to last? Three questions I want to give you based off this text. How do you know if you are a real follower of Jesus? Question number one, what do you do with Jesus and his teaching? What do you do with Jesus and his teaching? I want you to ask yourself that right now. What do you do with Jesus and what do you do with his teaching? Do you notice the two kinds of people at the end of the sermon? It's really bizarre. Have you ever paid attention to it? Jesus says, those who hear these words of mine and act on them, they are the ones who built their house on the rock. But did you notice the other side? Scary. Those who hear these words of mine and don't act on them. I would have thought it would have been those who hear these words of Jesus and act on them, they are built their house on the rock. Those who have never heard of Jesus, never heard his teaching, never had anything to do with church, they're the ones that are building on sand. But that's not what he said. He said, those who hear my words but do nothing with them, those are the ones who will fade away. So it's possible to enjoy hearing good preaching, to enjoy reading a good Christian author, to enjoy a good Bible study, and have your heart warmed, and have your heart stirred, and enjoy the insights that you got, and never do anything with it. And Jesus says, you're building on sand. And I believe he's preaching to churched people here. We go home and we say, look at my bookshelf with notebooks of all this notes I've taken of all the good preaching and teaching I've heard. Look at my Bible study workbooks. Every blank is filled. Look at my books that I've got, all these Christian books, and they're outlined and they got yellow highlights all through it. And I write in the margins here for the books to, I love this teaching. I love this teaching. What are you doing with it? It's possible to hear good teaching, love good teaching, and not be real. Be careful. You're not building your house on Jesus. You're building your house on biblical enlightenment. You're building your house on loving a new idea. You're not building it on Jesus. Be careful. Jesus says, those who hear my words and act on them, those are the ones who will endure, survive, and thrive. Question is, what do you do with the teaching that you hear? You may love it all day long, but if you're not acting on it, what do you think my wife would do if every day she said, pick up your nasty clothes off the floor and put them in the dirty clothes hamper, and every time she said that, I said, I just love it when you say that. The way you look at me when you say that, just, oh. The tone you use is just so sweet and precious. but I never did anything with the clothes. I'd be dumb. Or perhaps you've heard me use this illustration before. It's a fictional illustration, but perhaps I told my daughter to go upstairs and clean her room. And a few minutes later, she comes downstairs. She said, could you tell me one more time what that was? And I said, clean your room. And so she goes back upstairs, and she's up there a couple of hours, and she comes back down. And I said, oh, hey. And she goes, Dad, listen. I memorized what you told me to do. Clean your room. I got some of my friends on Zoom, on FaceTime, and we studied what you said. We studied what the word clean meant. We studied what the word your meant. We studied what the room, what the word room meant. We had ourselves a study of what you told us to do. It was fantastic. Dad, I made you a mug. It said, clean your room, hashtag dad. Did you clean your room? No. That's a picture of church people. Had a great Bible study. What'd you do with what Jesus said do? Be careful. Be careful. What do you do with Jesus and his teaching? Jesus says, those who hear these words of mine and act on them. Question number two, who's pouring your foundation? Who's pouring your foundation? Question one, what are you doing with Jesus and his teaching? Question number two, who's pouring the foundation? I believe there's a direct link between spiritual leaders, spiritual teachers, and where your heart goes. Look at what Jesus says. Back up with me in verse 15. These are scary verses, especially for preachers, but it's here. We need to deal with it. Chapter 7, verse 15. Be on your guard, Jesus says, against false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravaging wolves. You'll recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, neither can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So, verse 20, you'll recognize them by their fruit. Now, you see what Jesus is doing here. He's saying there are teachers, there are spiritual leaders, there are spiritual influencers out there that look like the real deal. They look like God's sheep. But inside, they're ravaging wolves. They just want to use you. They want to abuse you. They want you to be a cog in the wheel of what they're building. They give solid biblical teaching. They give solid biblical insight. Jesus says, be on your guard. Well, how do we know if they're giving solid biblical insight and they look like sheep? How do we know? He said so. Watch their fruit. Then he gives an obvious example. You know an apple tree is an apple tree because what does it have on the end of it? Oh, three of you nailed it. Apples. Yes. How do you know it's an apple tree? Because it gives apples. Yes. And Jesus is saying, you're going to know it by their fruit. So hang on, think about it. So you're saying, okay, if there's a direct relationship between what I am putting my heart into and my spiritual influences, then you're saying I need to watch something, their fruit. He doesn't say watch how big their ministries are. He doesn't say look how big their churches are. How many people they can get to come. He doesn't say, look how big their budget is. He doesn't say, look how many baptisms they've had. That's things that Baptists have been measuring for years. Nothing wrong with that per se, but if we're not careful, we begin to think that that's where success and faithfulness is. He never says that. How does he say? What does he say? You'll know it by their fruit. What do I understand that to mean? Character. How does Paul define fruit in Galatians 5? Fruits of the Spirit are, I missed one the first service and somebody called me on it. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Yeah, this little girl came up to me after in the first service. Missed one. She's talking about Willis. She said, you only did eight. All right. I was glad she was listening. But Paul says, no, that's the fruit of the Spirit. If you read Timothy, Paul gives qualifications for pastors in 1 Timothy 3. All but one have to do with the man's character. You will know it by their fruit. When they teach you, is it life-giving or is it life-taking? Do they give you a bunch of rules to follow? Or do they call you to follow Jesus? Does the aura of their life say, this reminds me of Christ? Jesus says in John 15, here's how you bear much fruit, by abiding in me. So, church, I want to encourage you. There's a lot of incredible spiritual influencers out there, some great spiritual leaders, but if you can't watch their life, be very, very careful. I'm not saying don't, but if you can't watch their fruit, be careful. You will know it by their fruit. And by the way, before I go to the last question, pay attention to what's influencing you, period. What influences you the most right now? What are you listening to the most? When you think about your identity, your security, your purpose, your safe place, where is that? Is it Netflix? There's nothing wrong with Netflix. I like Netflix. I watch it. But if when you begin to find your self-identity and you go back to a show you keep watching, that could be a problem. It's building your heart on quicksand. Pay attention to who's influencing your life. Pay attention to that. Question 3. First question was, what are you doing with Jesus and his teaching? Question 2, who is pouring your foundation? And question number 3, do you do for Jesus? Or do you do what you do to be with Jesus? Do you do what you do for him or to be with him? Huge difference. If you've grown up in church like I have, you've heard me say this. I've been in church 9 months before I was born. If you've grown up in church like I have, verses 21, 22, and 23 are some of the most frightening verses I believe in all the Bible. They are incredibly scary. Look at what Jesus says, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and drive out demons in your name and do many miracles in your name? Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. It's possible to call Jesus your Lord your whole life and spend eternity in hell. So that's kind of harsh. Well, how do you interpret on the last day being told by Jesus, depart from me? It's possible to call Jesus your Lord your entire life and spend an eternity in hell. And get this. If I'm understanding Jesus correctly, it's possible to teach and preach in Jesus' name and not be a real follower. There's going to be some on the last day. Didn't we teach? Get this. This blows my mind. It's possible that you were part of seeing a miracle in Jesus' name and not be real. I see it. I ask somebody, how do you know you're a Christian? Well, this miracle happened 5 years ago. Be careful. You did this miracle. Be careful. It's possible to cast out demons in Jesus' name and not be a Christian. Scares. So what's going on? How can we know? Lean in, church, because Jesus is inviting you to something. He's lovingly frightening us so we won't miss the point. Pay attention to what this group does on the last day. What are they saying? But we did this for you. We did this for you. I did this for you. I did this in your name. Remember that time you did this for you and I did that? Remember that? They're bringing to Jesus. What are they bringing to Jesus? Their list. If you bring to Jesus a list on the last day and you're working on a list so you can just say, look, 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 you're missing the point. If you're working on a list, watch out. If you're doing what you're doing now so that God will be indebted to you, so that when you get to, when you see him on the last day or however it's going to work, and he says, why should I let you in? And you're like, because I did all these things for you. You owe me, God. It's time to pony up. This is why I did all these things for you. So it's time for you to do to me. It's time to let me in because I've been doing for you. And he's going to say, I never knew you. You don't go to Jesus with a list. You only know somebody through a relationship. You don't do for with Jesus. He's already done everything for you. You do what you do out of a relationship with him. Read Matthew 25 sometime. The people that did ministry that got to go into heaven, they never knew that they were doing ministry. It was just a part of their life. He says, he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven, that's who he knows. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to do the will of the Father in heaven? I believe he's making a connection to the end. You want to know what God's will is? It's this. Listen to Jesus' teaching and do what he says. You say, well, what about this? I mean, some of you probably, if you're like me, you committed a sin yesterday or a week ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago, and it keeps haunting you, and you think, I need to earn that back. I need to show that I mean it this time. No, no, you're missing the point. Jesus died for that sin. Jesus died for those sins. You don't have to worry about making up for those sins. He loves you and has already died for those sins. Some of you are thinking, well, I need to be more righteous. I need to be more holy. I need to show how serious I am. No, no, no. Jesus was serious for you. Jesus obeyed completely. You don't have to worry about what's required to be right with God. Jesus did that for you. The only thing you have to concern yourself with is being with him. Do you do what you do to try to get on his good side? Or do you do what you do because you've just been with him? What does Jesus say to you in the secret place? If I were to take you to coffee today and say, what's Jesus teaching you right now? What would you say? Mike Glenn, the senior pastor at Brentwood, says, God never turns away an eager student. If you sat down with Jesus today, would you have to get acquainted? Or would you just continue the conversation from earlier? You want to know if you're real? What do you do with Jesus' teaching? Who's pouring your foundation? And are you doing what you do because you're with him? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? 43 Cherrywood Road. It's going to be ingrained in my soul. A lot of memories. It's where I began to form my identity. It's where I felt safe. I can still smell the Hungry Jack casserole coming out of the oven. Ask me later what that is. And it's where I began to find my purpose. Where are you building your house? You're building it on something. Where are you putting your foundation? Where are you putting yourself? There'll be storms. You'll be beat up. But there's only one way to endure. Jesus. Would you bow your heads? I just want to lead you in a moment of prayer. Whether you're in the room or whether you're watching online, would you just not waste this next 90 to 120 seconds, just 2 minutes. We're ending the Sermon on the Mount series, and I don't believe Jesus just talked to hear himself talk. I believe he was calling for a decision. And I believe these words are still here for us today because he knew you would be sitting under this teaching. I didn't say anything. So many times people say, here's how I know that I'm saved, or here's how I'm supposed to know that I'm saved. I remember I prayed a prayer when I was 9 years old and I got dunked. I didn't say any of that today. All those things are fine and good, but it's not in the Bible for how you can know if you're a true follower. So if you have no idea when and where you were, it's okay. I never said, how many times have you sinned since you trusted Jesus? That'll tell you. No, I never said that. I never said, how many good things have you done since you prayed the prayer? Never said that. The question is, what are you doing with Jesus right now? Would you ask the Father to bubble up in your heart where you are spiritually with him and make it plain? If it's being revealed to you that maybe you're not a real follower, that's not to condemn, it's to invite you to the reality of being with Jesus. It's to bring you freedom. It's to bring you life. It's to say, don't miss the main point. Would you just ask Jesus to teach you what it looks like to have a relationship with him and the joy that comes in living out of that? Father, please help us. May all of us build our house on the rock. Move us off the quicksand. Make sure we're on the rock. This is an invitation, Jesus, to enjoy your presence and to walk with you through all storms and to know that we're not just living for this life, but you're going to be with us and we're going to be with you in the life to come. Help us attach ourselves always and forever to you, Christ. It's in that name I pray.